Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, he's going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Matt Peck is out today, back from the weekend. Glad to be here. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop all your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, drop it there, 331-979-1369. Pretty crazy weekend in terms of Bulls news. I know all of that being overshadowed by the Super Bowl. Hopefully everybody out there had an amazing Super Bowl Sunday. And for Chiefs fans, excited for you guys. Any of our listeners from Kansas City that are Chiefs fans, probably a pretty exciting day for you guys. But now with the NFL season over completely, we all turn our heads to the NBA. So a lot of NBA action going on the next couple of weeks. Really, really important next couple of weeks for the Chicago Bulls team. So very excited. The trade deadline is just a few days away. Matt and I will have a ton of stuff to talk about over the next couple of days in terms of trades. I think the Bulls are in a really, really interesting position to be able to define what the rest of this season is going to look like and maybe even define what next year is going to look like in terms of the path. So will Zach LaVine be enticed enough? Will the Bulls be enticed enough to listen in on offers for Zach LaVine? I know Chris Dunn's name's been thrown around a bunch. Thaddeus Young as well. So there's a couple of different pieces on this Bulls team that could be moved prior to the end of the week. I wanted to start, though, with probably the most pressing news in Bulls Nation right now, and that is Zach LaVine was named to the three-point contest. So Zach LaVine, it will be the lone participant from the Chicago Bulls in All-Star Weekend. I mean, things could happen where a guy on the Rising Stars Challenge decides not to play in that game, or he's injured, and maybe Coby White fills in. So that could potentially happen, but as of now, Zach LaVine is going to be the lone participant. Still no word if he's going to do the dunk contest as well. I know Pat Connaughton was named to the dunk contest as well. And over the weekend, Aaron Gordon also mentioned that he was going to be in the dunk contest. So we'll see. I don't think LaVine will do the dunk contest, but things could change over the next couple of days or even the week. But Zach LaVine, more than capable of bringing home the three-point contest. Zach LaVine is shooting 37.6% from three this year. So I'm excited. At least that will be something for Bulls fans to take 15 minutes out of All-Star Weekend to say, hey, here's a guy that's representing our city. And for what it is, the Bulls being the hometown team, being the team that is hosting All-Star Weekend, it's pretty disappointing, though, that Zach LaVine is in one contest that could maybe last, what I said, all of like 5 minutes of attention. So hopefully that's not the case. But prior years have been a little bit more exciting for Bulls fans. I mean, at least we had the last two seasons, we had Lauri Markkanen and Chris Dunn both playing in the Rising Stars game. Lauri Markkanen did the skills competition 1 year. So we had a couple of different things to be excited about. Not as much this year, but I found it funny because Zach LaVine did give us a little bit of a hint that he was going to do something in the All-Star game. Here he was after the Raptors game this weekend.
Will you do anything for us every weekend, though?
Still thinking about it. Appreciate that, Lau. Still thinking about it, but I want to do something, and we'll figure out what I'm going to do within the next couple of days.
So he said the next couple of days, and sure enough, Monday comes out, he is going to be in the three-point contest. So maybe that was what Lowry was golfing at and breaking up that question. But Yeah, good for Zach LaVine. I hope he wins it. You know, that would be pretty cool. You know, as disappointing as everything has happened here in Chicago with All-Star Weekend, all the injuries the Bulls have had, the disappointing play, nobody being voted to the All-Star team, Zach LaVine not even being voted to the All-Star team. Disappointing to be hosting a game here with nobody in the actual game, but maybe that changes with an injury or two in the next 10 days or so, which could very well happen. Hopefully it doesn't happen to any of those top players that are going to be playing in it. But if that were to happen or some guy doesn't want to end up playing, Zach LaVine could get the call. I mean, there are a handful of other guys, too, that would like that call. I know Bradley Beal in the East would like that call. And in the West, Devin Booker would like that call. So we'll see. But right now, Zach LaVine, three-point contest, that is the sole participant. The other thing I wanted to touch on really quick in this segment was the trade deadline and going on this weekend. Trade deadline talk has heated up over the last week or so. No real big moves yet. I mean, there's been talks about moves about D'Angelo Russell maybe going to Minnesota. There's been talks between two non-competitive teams like the Knicks and the Hornets for guys like Dennis Smith Jr. and Julius Randle. So there's like mid-level deals going on and talks being had, but nothing major, nothing like it was last year. And the Bulls were pretty quiet last year all the way up until they made their move with Otto Porter for Bobby Portis. I mean, hell, they even told Bobby Portis himself that he wasn't going to get traded unless it was for Kevin Durant or for a LeBron James. And sure enough, 48 hours later, he was dealt. So even if the Bulls don't say anything or there are hardly any rumors out there swirling or any reports saying that, yeah, guys, there's people interested in the NBA in, say, Zach LaVine or, say, Denzel Valentine or Chris Dunn or Thaddeus Young, even if there isn't that talk, there could be things going behind the scenes, and we've seen that already the last couple of years. But the Bulls have been active of the rebuild both years. I mean, they traded Nico Mirotic 2 weeks before the deadline, so that happened prior, but still, the Bulls were active, and they also had some salary dump deals, too. And then that was the same thing with last year, and then the big deal was with Otto Porter Jr. coming to the Bulls and trading Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis. I would not be shocked if Thaddeus Young gets dealt. I would not be shocked if Denzel Valentine is dealt. I would not be shocked if Chris Dunn is dealt. Other thing about Chris Dunn is I would not be shocked if the Bulls just keep him and try to renegotiate a deal. It seems like he's found the right spot for him. I don't know, in his NBA career, at least with this Bulls team, he's found a niche. And honestly, he's been the most improved player on this Bulls team. Outside of Zach LaVine, I guess you could say he's been improved in areas, but he's playing at about the same level he was playing last year, which was great, at a borderline all-star level. But as far as improvement goes, I think Chris Dunn gets that for sure. Last year, his defense looked like it had dipped from the first year that we had saw him. He wasn't as aggressive. He wasn't playing as free-flowing. I think he was pressing a lot, didn't really know what his role was, but now I think he's kind of redefined that. Now if we can just, for the love of God, is get his offense back and consistent, and I don't know, maybe Jim Boylan goes away and somebody reintroduces the mid-range shot that was good for Dunn all of his first year with this Bulls team, so I don't know, but I think he's been overall, his game has helped the Bulls, his defense has helped the Bulls. Him and Wendell Carter Jr., we haven't seen a whole ton of those two play on the floor consistently, at least with Dunn playing at the level he is right now. But when Carter comes back and Dunn is fully healthy, those two guys make for a great Bulls defense, at least a start to a great Bulls defense. And we've seen the Bulls improve there, but now it's turned to the offense, and it's like Zach LaVine's the only guy that can score, so one problem we had last year now has turned into a different problem this year. And that's the other news. Before we get to the actual game, since I am talking about Chris Dunn, it sucks. If you weren't watching the game yesterday, overshadowed by the Super Bowl, Chris Dunn went out with a right MCL sprain. So this is exactly the same injury he had last year. I think the MCL sprain he had last year was to his left knee. I have to double check on that. Him and Bobby Portis had similar injuries, but this being a grade 2 MCL sprain, so it's more severe than the one he had last year. Last year, I think it cost him about 4 weeks, so I don't know. I'm hoping the extra rest on top of the All-Star game, and the Bulls play 3 more games before the All-Star break, and then they play, I think, to finish the month, they play 5 more games in February to finish out the month. So maybe Chris Dunn misses a total of 10 games here. We got Daniel Gafford back, but Lauri Markkanen's still out. Otto Porter Jr. is out. Chris Dunn is out now. Wendell Carter Jr. is out. So the Bulls are just unbelievably depleted right now. As far as how this affects Chris Dunn's trade value, I'm not sure. I mean, I know it's not super severe. It's going to cost him a couple of weeks. And like I said, maybe probably about 10 games or so. But I don't know how this affects his trade value if the Bulls decide to deal him at all, or if it kind of just, maybe they were leaning more towards keeping him unless they were overwhelmed. This maybe will lean the Bulls more towards keeping Chris Dunn and seeing if they can renegotiate over the summer and find a long-term deal to keep him around. Because otherwise he's a restricted free agent and the Bulls will have the opportunity to match on him, but you let him go to free agency, we could be talking north of $10 million, $12 million a year for Chris Dunn, which sounds crazy, but that's the command for good point guards that can play defense. And I would assume another team that maybe is a playoff-bound team, a team that looking to shore up their bench, can figure out what he can do on the offensive end of the ball and see if they can figure that out as well. So we'll see. We'll have a lot more trade deadline stuff, and I know Matt and I are going to do a bunch of different episodes, and I haven't gone through any hypothetical trades. We did this last year. I ran through about a dozen different trades with Matt. Saw if he liked them, disagreed, agreed. I had him go back and forth with me too on trade deadline deals as well. So we'll come up with all of our list of potential deals the Bulls could make, things that make sense for the Bulls, and see if we like those or not. You guys can drop your trade proposals. If you want to grab a screenshot of the trade machine that you have going, send it to us at 331-979-1369 or on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. So there's a lot of really funny things that happen at the end of this Raptors and Bulls game, and I'll get to that in a second. There is no other perfect time than now to plan your vacation, and the perfect place to do that is in Arizona. This spring, follow your favorite baseball team to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventures, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. If you're like me and excited about the White Sox season, you can have the first opportunity to see guys like Luis Robert, Nick Madrigal, Yasmani Grandal, and more play. If you're not a White Sox or a Cubs fan, there are 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, all within 50 miles of Greater Phoenix. It's the perfect place to meet players and get autographs too. Arizona is also known for amazing concert venues for live music and entertainment. You can also explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to music instruments from around the world. And of course, you have to check off must-see destinations like the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, Horseshoe Bend, and Tucson. Arizona is family-friendly, equipped with tons of stuff for kids to do and see, like wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining for your offer. Get away to Arizona. It's the perfect time for a vacation. Plan your spring training getaway. visitarizona.com/springtraining.
And a timeout here from Jim Boylan. What are you doing?
I know
Jim a lot. Like, seriously, like, what strategy are you talking? It's a 25-point blowout. There's a minute 4 left. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I want to get out of here. First of all, I didn't want overtime. What strategic adjustment are you making? Stuck 25.
Jack.
Come on, man. This is just, look, come on. Really? You really need to run a play
now
here.
Now 25. Here we go.
Jim, since Cody's not here to ask a timeout question, I figured I'd ask it for him. You had about a minute 4 or 5 left. Called that timeout. Were you trying to?
Yeah, I was trying to run something with my second group. I got a G League guy in there that's never, I haven't coached much on an ATO. And, I don't stop coaching the team because we're down. I don't do that. I've never done that. I never will. So I'm going to coach the guys on the floor. I wanted to run something to get something with Makoka in it so he can learn and grow. Put that pressure on him and have him develop. So we're trying to win and develop. And that was a development moment. So it'd be different if we were up 20 and I called timeout. We were down 20. So if I can endure the last minute, the last timeout, and coach my team, I think the other team can too.
So that was the TSN broadcast, the Raptors TV network. After Jim Boylan calls another, like, this isn't even surprising to Bulls fans anymore. And I'm sure a lot of you probably tuned out at the end of this game already if you had been watching it at all. Boylan calls a timeout down 25 with a minute and 7 seconds left in the game. Not only were everybody that was watching this game going crazy on Twitter, I didn't catch this from the broadcast until earlier today. I tweeted out the video too as well. It's hilarious because the TSN broadcast also catches Zach LaVine before that when he hears timeout. Zach LaVine can't see Jim Boylan actually call the timeout. He's sitting out all the way at the end of the bench, already done for the night, which we'll get to in a second. Already done for the night. Somebody's blocking his view. All he hears from the announcer is timeout Bulls, and you can just see him lay his head back and mouth the words why, and it's perfectly encompasses everything that Jim Boylan stands for with these timeouts at the end of the game. You want to know what the play was if you weren't watching the game at the end? Do you want to know what the play was out of that timeout? Do you want to know?
I haven't coached much on ATO.
Yeah, I can tell because out of that timeout, the Bulls come down the floor, get the ball swiped away in their face, and then Toronto runs on a 3-on-1 and throws an alley-oop. Nick Nurse should have called a timeout at that point. He should have let them throw that alley-oop down and call a timeout right there. It's just Jim Boylan adding another list of people to the ever-growing list of people who are perplexed by Jim Boylan's timeouts late in games. And Jim Boylan's excuse was like, it's not like I was up 25, but he's done this in games where the Bulls have been up 20. Wasn't it the Kings win last year that the Bulls were up 21 and he calls a timeout with like 40 seconds left? Oh, maybe it was the Suns game. It was either one of those games the Bulls were up 20 plus in a win, and he called a timeout late. So he's done it in both fashions. Come on, what are you teaching a G League guy in the last minute of a blowout where he's playing up against probably G League level talent as well? Like, what are you teaching him? What needs to be taught there? And I just love that the broadcaster just went absolutely nuts on the broadcast. And that was being mild, too.
I got a G League guy in there.
Yeah, we know you have a G League guy in there, Jim. The broadcast perfectly encapsulated how I would have felt too if I had to be there hours before the Super Bowl kicks off and you've got a head coach who's calling timeouts with a minute left down 25 in a game that was bad. This game was awful. And like, what are the Bulls going to do? You're missing four of your key starters, four of your guys that are, you're asking for basically all of your points production and all your defense for. You have none of those guys. So Zach LaVine, he went 17 straight games with 20-plus points, and yesterday that streak was snapped. I mean, Jim Boylan could have left Zach LaVine in there. He had 18 points, and there was like a minute and a half left in the game. He could have thrown Zach LaVine back in there and let him continue the streak, but at what point? The Bulls played terrible. They got their teeth kicked in, and Zach LaVine didn't have all that great of a game either. So the streak snapped. Zach LaVine has played amazing basketball over the last 6 weeks, and really for the whole stretch of the season. I tweeted out a picture, and you can see it on my Twitter at Jordan C. Malley. I tweeted out Zach LaVine's stats, and it's just a handful of them, but the ones that we go to most often, and wanted to see what his progression was like from last year pre-All-Star break to this year pre-All-Star break. But like I said before too, the Bulls have three more games before All-Star weekend is up, so the Bulls will play a total of 55 games. The Bulls last year played 58 games. Zach LaVine only played in 51 of those before the All-Star break, but Zach LaVine is up 58 minutes in total minutes played. He's up 1.9 points per game, 24.9 points per game this season. He was averaging 23 last year. He's up about half a rebound per game. He's down a quarter of an assist a game, so not big deal, around the same 4.1 to 4.4 last year. Field goal percentage, he's down 2%, 46.2% last year, 44.2% this year. But he is shooting more threes than he was last year, so that is one thing. He's definitely shooting more threes at a higher clip, so you'll see that around his true shooting percentage is right around the same. But three-point percentage is up nearly 3%, 37.6% this year. You're shooting 34.9% last year. Free throw percentage has dipped a little bit. Nothing too concerning. It was 3%. He was at 85.9 last year. He's at 82.8 this year. He had that weird stretch. I think it was maybe about a month ago where it was like he couldn't knock down shots. One game he had, it was like 5 for 10 or 5 for 11 from the field. And I remember even Stacey King on the broadcast was like, this is just unheard of from Zach, missing this many free throws from the line. So he did have a little bit of a stretch during this season where he was struggling from the free throw line. But nonetheless, right around the same. True shooting percentage this year, 56.6%, which is pretty damn good. 56.8% last year, which was also pretty good. His usage percentage is north of 30. It's higher than it was last year, which is kind of hard to believe considering all the injuries the Bulls had in the first, 6 weeks of the season. Bobby Portis went out, Chris Dunn went out, Lauri Markkanen was out. So the Bulls needed Zach to carry the load. I remember just especially in November, and then those guys came back in December and January, but Zach's had a little bit more help this year, but still his usage percentage is up even more after the two signings the Bulls had this offseason in Thaddeus Young, Satoransky, and also Kobe White was supposed to help, but again, the Bulls have been demolished by injuries. So Zach LaVine, 31.8% usage to 30.4% last year. To my surprise, and this just could be the additions and the Bulls just being a little bit better this year, the Bulls' offensive rating while Zach LaVine's been on the floor is a 106 this year, and his defensive rating is a 110. Last year was 105 to 114, so a little bit different. Zach LaVine is plus one year over year in his offensive rating and plus four in defensive rating too, which it helps when you've got guys like Carter out there. Chris Dunn's playing a little bit better. You got Satoransky as well, so you can hide Zach LaVine a little bit better than they were able to early on last year where you had Zach LaVine having to play next to guys like Cameron Payne and Ryan Arcidiacono. So there wasn't a whole lot of defensive help, but now Zach LaVine had a little bit more. But overall, the Bulls' defense has been better. And then I got to the wins and losses, and I think this was the most surprising out of it all, was the Bulls are 9 games better this year than they were last year at this time, at least while Zach LaVine has been in, which it doesn't feel like the Bulls are 9 games better. And I think I thought to myself, and I'm like, I think it's because of all the mass injuries that the Bulls have had, the regression we've seen in Lauri Markkanen. It doesn't feel like the Bulls are 9 games better. And then I flip it on its head and I say, well, think about how many games the Bulls have coughed up in the fourth quarter. Think about how many games the Bulls have coughed up in the last 5 minutes. Probably, at least 10 this year? If those flip-flop and the Bulls win those games instead of lose, you're looking at a team that's 29-23 instead of 19-33. So I do have to think about it that way. It just, to me as a Bulls fan, it doesn't feel like we're 9 games better than we were last year. And again, I think it goes back to all the injuries plus the combination of Lauri Markkanen not being as good as he was last year the first 2 years of his career. So overall, though, I just to swing it all the way back, I thought it was just really funny that the broadcast at the end, Jim Boylan calling timeouts, and Jim Boylan throws a snide comment in there at the end of the press conference when he's asked about why he called the timeout. And I love that Joe Colley asked the question because Cody Westerlund wasn't on the road with them.
If I can endure the last minute, the last timeout, and coach my team, I think the other team can too.
I want to get out of here.
That's the best.
I want to get out of here.
It's just unbelievable. I don't think anybody can believe really what Jim Boylan is doing.
What are you doing?
Nobody really knows. I mean, so shout out to the TSN broadcasters because that was hilarious. That was a nice little gem to wake up to this morning when I saw that.
What, seriously, what strategy are you talking? It's a 25-point blowout. There's a minute 4 left.
Teachable
what strategic
moments.
Adjustment are you making?
Teachable
stuck
moments,
25?
Jack.
Come on, man. This is just, that's, you know, it's, look, come on. Really?
So, other than that, what is there to say about a Bulls team that's completely depleted that played at 2 p.m. against a Raptors team that looked completely disinterested, and you let a guy named Terrence Davis drop 31 off the bench against you, knock down 6 of 7 threes. So, there's not much to say about that game. The Bulls play the Pelicans later this week, so we'll get our first look at Zion, get our first look at Brandon Ingram this season, too. That Pelicans team has been really, really fun to watch. So I'm hoping it doesn't look like it did in preseason where, remember, Zion dropped, I think, 30 points on 13 of 14 from, inside 6 feet. but we might be looking at that again. If it's Daniel Gafford and Luke Kornet starting, you're probably looking at Zion north of 30 points, or at least Brandon Ingram north of 30 points. Trade deadline, though, let's go back to that really quick. I saw a really, really, really terrible trade, and I think most of Bulls Nation saw this on Twitter, and I think this was mostly trolling or has no idea the value of any players in the NBA. Regardless, I know one thing. This writer hasn't watched a single minute of Bulls basketball all season. It's declaring a trade that would send Zach LaVine to the Dallas Mavericks. So I said, okay, Dallas makes sense. They're a contending team. They've got Luka Doncic, who's going to come back off an injury. They got Kristaps Porzingis. They've been playing really well. Need another piece to kind of send them over the top. There's probably three or four teams that I can think of that are like this that Zach LaVine would be a good fit with. Most notably, Mavericks, maybe. Miami was another good one. The Clippers make sense if they can find a way to work out the money. Even the Lakers kind of make sense. So those four teams all pretty much make sense to me. If you're going to go trade for Zach LaVine, I think all of those teams too have enough pieces to do so. It's just a matter of, okay, who's going to pull off the deal? Who's going to give the Bulls the best deal? And look, we said this last year too, and Zach LaVine has repeated his performance from last year, so it only makes the case stronger that his value is even at its highest. Zach LaVine's not going anywhere unless the Bulls are getting all-star caliber quality back. Borderline all-star caliber quality. They want somebody that's ready right now, not future assets for 3-4 years down the line. And also not expiring contracts either. The expiring contract thing does no good. I'd rather keep the player in Zach LaVine than you give me an expiring contract than I get to go walk into free agency on July 1st of this summer with my hand in my pocket. Nobody wants to come here and nobody has a single meeting set up with the Bulls. So I don't want to do that. The value for Zach LaVine is going to be at an all-time high. You thought it was high last year. It's at an all-time high right now. And factor into his contract. Bulls fans, you guys already know this. Okay, fast forward to the article. It's in Sports Illustrated. SportsIllustrated.com. I shouldn't say the magazine, because RIP the magazine. SportsIllustrated.com has started to do this thing where they're aggregating for every single team out there. So they've got sub-bloggers that are writing for them. It's sort of set up like how FanSided set up. So this to me, though, told me that he has not watched a single minute of Bulls basketball, nor does he understand at all what the value of Zach LaVine is. I can't totally go in on this guy. His name's Dalton Trigg. That wrote the article for Sports Illustrated's Dallas Basketball. He quoted a Cowley article from November, which I think was kind of taken out of context as far as the value for LaVine. It said something like taking on, as far as a starter package goes, Reggie Jackson, who's an expiring contract. Obviously, that's just the starter. If you're trading Zach LaVine to Detroit, first of all, Detroit owns all of their first round picks all the way into the future. So I would assume at least one of the first round picks is included for Zach LaVine, and then probably one of the young players on that Detroit roster. That at least makes a little bit of sense, and it would probably be even more than that. The Bulls are, if you're trading Zach LaVine, the Bulls are probably asking, if it's Detroit, say Kudumbia and a first round pick would be the starting, and then to match salary, Reggie Jackson as well. All three of that, I think, would get maybe a deal close to being done for Zach LaVine, if not done. I mean, you could work around a couple other smaller pieces to make it a little bit more. The Mavericks have nothing anywhere near that. Anywhere near that. So his offer, considering what Cowley had wrote, and I still don't think that this writer factored in that a Detroit deal that he was talking about for Reggie Jackson would include a lot more than just Reggie Jackson. He said an offer consisting of Courtney Lee's expiring contract, one of the Mavericks' young players, and the Warriors' 2020 second-round pick could be enough to get a conversation started. Only the Bulls' front office can answer that, but we will believe it could get the Mavs a seat at the table. That doesn't even get you a seat at the kids' table. Like, the Bulls sit at the kids' table. Let's remind ourselves that. The Bulls are not at the regular table. We talked about this last year. The Bulls are not, they're not at the regular table. They're at the kids' table with the New York Knicks. They're at the kids' table with the Charlotte Hornets. there are a few other teams that share the space with the Bulls at the kids' table. So this doesn't even get you a text invite 24 hours before to come over to the party. Like, this gets you nowhere near it. What young player, I guess, would be my question, what young player would you be sending back to the Bulls? Justin Jackson? Like, there's no way Justin Jackson gets that back, gets that for you back. Like, there's no young players on this Bulls team. The Bulls are already loaded, too. The thing is, they're already loaded at power forward and center. We already have plenty of young talent there. We don't need another guy that is, like, fringe, has some talent, still needs to develop. We don't need those guys anymore. We're trying to move Thaddeus Young because we're in a position where we're two steps ahead of where we thought we were, and that's partly because of injuries. So any of the young players that would be sent around in a package to Dallas, there's nothing that the Bulls would want there. And also on top of that, too, they're sending a first-round pick to New York in 2021, so it screws the Bulls. Like, if the Bulls wanted to set up some type of a deal, it would make it a little bit more fair if Dallas could throw in a first-round pick, but they don't even have the ability to do that. Because if they trade their 2020, they can't trade their 2020 pick because it's consecutive years with the Knicks pick going in 21, and they can't trade the 2022 pick for the exact same reason. So basically, the Mavericks can't trade first-round picks for, like, the next 3 years, at least picks that are going to be within these next 3 years.
You're right.
I know I am right. Thank you, Jim. So Detroit makes a lot of sense. I think that's interesting as well. If they don't completely try to blow it up like trading Rose, I don't know what Detroit's going to do. But there's a couple days left. I would say if I had to bet the player to get moved, most likely on this Bulls team to start this week, would be Thaddeus Young. Second most likely, and I think it's close. I think it's like, I mean, maybe you could move Otto Porter, but I can't imagine many teams are calling about Otto Porter, who's got a player option for $27 million next year, and you haven't seen him play more than 10 games this season. And he hasn't really been fully healthy even since he's gotten to this Bulls team. So maybe there's a deal out there where there's a team that is like, well, he's going to come back after the All-Star break. He'll be healthy. He'll be ready to go, and we could get him in shape in 4 weeks for a playoff run. More of just like a complimentary, put you over the top type of piece. Maybe there's a team out there that would want to do that, but there's far and few between who can match a contract at $27 million that doesn't completely deplete your roster or doesn't make any sense for the Bulls to deal. So there's going to be movement, and the Bulls are going to get plenty of calls, and they should take them, and they should be aggressive. And like I said 2 weeks ago, or about a week ago, the Bulls should have already raised the white flag if it isn't apparent already. Deal off the pieces you can here, and let's hit the reset button in the summer, because what's the point now? I know the Bulls are only, what, 3.5-4 games out of a playoff spot. Do you really want a Bulls team to make the playoffs at 34 and whatever it is? Like 8-6 games under 500 and just get absolutely smacked by the Bucks in the first round? Like, not just absolutely smacked, like embarrassed by Giannis. Like, that's what it's going to be. There's quite a few guys that are making their cases right now for MVP, and Giannis is definitely the clear favorite in my opinion, although Damian Lillard's played really great. Luka's played really great this year too. The Bulls would get absolutely smacked, and Chris Middleton, it seems like he's caught fire, and if that continues, so I don't understand what that would benefit for the Bulls. I would rather be back in the lottery because we're already in a position where it feels like the season is lost because of the amount of injuries that the Bulls team has had. Like, to me, best case scenario, if this is the way the front office and Jim Boylan is thinking, and this is going to be my last thought, and we're going to get out of here. If they're thinking, okay, if we get guys back towards the end of the All-Star break, we can hang around maybe 2, 3, 4 games out of a last playoff seed, and we get everybody back healthy, do they really think Jim Boylan's going to turn this whole thing around in 6 weeks? Mind you that the Bulls have a nightmare of a schedule going to the last month of the year. Like, I would assume that they have to factor that in as well. You have to play a ton of tough teams. I think the Bulls' last 10 games, like 9 out of the 10 teams, are going to be in the playoffs. I just don't see it happening. And to to pass up on deals that could be on the table going into the trade deadline because you want to see what you have and see if you can maybe get some of these guys, even if it is only four games playoff experience, and you think that would help Jim Boylan as a coach or help your stature as a team and maybe justify why the season hasn't gone the way we all thought it wanted to go? I don't know. I don't see that. So hopefully the Bulls do make some moves and this makes it a little bit clearer about what the rest of this season is going to be. Thank you guys so much for listening. That's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Matt Peck and I will be back tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit more about the trade deadline. We got to get into Denzel Valentine's song too that he dropped, his rap song. And we'll talk about the video, and I'm seeing if I can get like an actual hip hop critic, somebody who actually writes for a place, to come on and listen to the song with us and break it down for us. So we'll see if we can get that for later in the week. A ton more. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan Z Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop all your texts, all your voicemails there. Thanks to our sponsor in the state of Arizona and Arizona Tourism for sponsoring our episodes. Remember, visit arizona.com/springtraining to book your vacation today. For Jordan Malley, I'm saying I'm out of here, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
I want to get out of here. What, seriously, like what strategy are you talking? It's a 25-point blowout. There's a minute four left.
Teachable
what strategic
moments.
Adjustment are you making?
Teachable
stuck
moments,
25?
Jack.
Come on, man. This is just, that's, you know, it's, look, come on. Really?
I haven't coached much on ATO.
What, seriously, like what strategy are you talking? It's a 25-point blowout.
I haven't coached much on ATO. You know, I don't stop coaching the team because we're down. I don't do that. I've never done that. I've never worked. I got a G League guy in there that...
I want to get out of here!
Is a success played for me?
That's the next step.
Get on that bird and keep playing.
I think people can see that, too.
If you build it, they will come.
Success.
I'm not going to dispute you on that.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com